second. What we have here is something new, something fresh.
I just wanna make you come dance with me, come talk to me, come here, darling, come here for me, baby.
Why you so far away? You need to feel this. I got something to tell you, come here real quick. I done dirt in the past, I know the love hurts. I come for you, but my lady gotta come first. I can tell by your hesitation, there's trust issue. You get excited, ignited, highly combustible. You on a higher vibration, that's why I fuck with you. Let me provide you, be comfortable as a huckster. Your whole style is colder than Minnesota. I love your profile, the way you look over shoulders.
Where you go?
At the crib, I'm hoping you come over. We can do it like Common and Mary and come closer. We can do it like Barack and Michelle, give me a fist bump. Black magical, act radical with the fist up. Do it till we rockin' the bells, you like hip hop. Promise you I'm not gonna tell, we keep our lips locked.
Shh. I don't wanna waste your time, baby.
No, no.
I just wanna make you come to me, comfortable, baby. So come here, darling.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span, and this is episode number 39 of the report. Yeah, man. It's some smooth shit right here, man. It's some smooth shit. Hold on.
Yeah. Come in. Like Spike Lee, movie, you're moving across the floor. Feel the love and the music, I'm using it like a lure. I love how you do with your beauty and your allure. Make you come like the ocean approaching you like shore. She Rockefeller Center like Diego in the lobby. As valuable as the scream or Salvador Dali. She popular with the thieves and wannabe Thomas Crown. So try to steal.
Yeah, man. That's that Talib Kweli, man. Talib Kweli's a conscious album, man. That shit came out sometime last year, man. And I just kind of stumbled upon it. I didn't know Talib had came out with anything last year. But yeah, man, I fucks with that right there. I fucks with that right there. But yeah, man, two episodes in like a week, man. This is episode 39. I came out with episode 38. I believe it was Monday. I think that Monday because I had to I had to record it twice, man. Like the first time I tried to record it, it sounded like complete shit. And so I recorded it twice. And that dropped Monday, and here we are, this I guess is a Saturday morning, because it's like 2:21 in the morning, and I'm on the mic on a Saturday morning, recording episode 39, man. And I guess I should say happy Holy Week to everybody who really, really, really celebrates Good Friday and Palm Sunday and Easter and everything else, man. Happy Holy Week to you. I know I really appreciated having today off from the job, man. I really did appreciate that. So, yeah, man, just chilling out, man. Just chilling out. And tonight's drink of choice. Nothing heavy tonight, man. I'm just drinking. It's a Stella Artois, man. Real smooth shit, man. I like Stella. Yeah, just one of those things, man. I'm just out chilling out. And I got some things I need to talk to you guys about. I got some things I want to talk to you guys about. As far as mostly, you know, it's funny because most of these are like Detroit stories, so to speak. And this won't be a really, really long episode. But I kind of wanted to speak to these things, man. Just some things that kind of caught my attention during the week, and I wanted to speak to them. But before I get into any of that, man, of course, let me let you guys know how you can get in touch with me here at the Span Report. Let your voice be heard, and you can respond to anything I say here on the show. You can hit me up at the email at thespanpodcast, all one word, at gmail.com. That's thespanpodcast@gmail.com. Hit me up there. I'll read those emails here on the show and respond to those here on the show. You can hit me up and leave a voicemail at the Span Report hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me a voicemail message on that number, and I'll play those voicemails here on the show and respond to you here on the show as well. You can also go to thespanreport.com, and every episode of the show has a comment section available to you there. You can use your Facebook, or you can just reply natively on the site. Whatever it is that you want to talk to me about on the Span Report, on that, on at least on each of those episodes, you can go ahead and leave a comment there. And of course, I've got my, you know, the Twitter handle is Mr_Span, the same as it is on Instagram is Mr_Span. You can hit me up on the Mr. Span fan page on Facebook. Mr. Underscore Span 37 on PlayStation Network, Mr. Span 37 on Xbox Live. I'm just all over the place, all right? Yeah, man. But yes, a couple things, I want to talk to you guys about now that I got that out of the way. There's a couple things or a few things that I wanted to talk to you guys about. And one of the things I want to talk to you guys about, Mimi Faust actually responded somewhat to some of the criticisms that she's gotten because of the release of her porno. So I'll talk a bit about that. And there's a young lady by the name of Brooke Kimbrough, who's protesting the fact that she didn't get into the University of Michigan, and she's protesting hard. And I'm going to speak a little bit about that later in the show. And also here in Detroit, there was a young man who was actually one of the people breaking into someone's homes here in Detroit. Now, of course, you guys know there have been a lot of home invasions where the assailants have been finding themselves dead. And unfortunately, here is another young man who was involved in that. He found himself dead, and his family had a message for the homeowner, which I thought was a bit interesting. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that, man. And no feedback this week. Well, at least no feedback this show. I mean, I guess it's a bit early. A lot of people haven't really had a chance to listen to the show yet. No feedback. But yeah, man, I'm going to get right on into this right now, man. The first thing I want to talk to you guys about, of course, is the one that has, you know, the national attention, I guess I should say, on some ratchet shit. You know, let's just keep it real. I mean, it's not exactly the most important thing in the motherfucking world to be talking about, but this is what has people attention. And it's the sex tape between, you know, with Mimi Faust and Nico Smith. And she's responded. You know, she put out a post on her Instagram account with the photo of a woman holding her finger to her lips as if to say, shh, you know, it's a shut up, people. And there's a caption above that says, if you aren't paying my bills. Okay. Now, here's the thing, man. And this is one of the things that I've always found a bit odd about, you know, just how we justify things nowadays. Like if they paying money, then, you know, everybody should shut the fuck up. And it's one of the most asinine ways we condone bullshit. It's one of the most asinine ways we condone bullshit all the time. You know, and I kind of juxtapose it. I mean, I always, you know, go back to, you know, people talk about, well, you know, a lot of people are buying into it. A lot of people like this, that, and whatever, you know, but crack was at one point in time a really hot commodity, but that didn't necessarily mean it was a good thing. People paid money and crack was paying a lot of bills, but it didn't necessarily mean it was a good thing. Okay. And so when I see people always talking about, well, it paid money, at least they eating and everything else, at what cost are we trying to eat? Are we willing to sacrifice who we are as people? Are we willing to sacrifice our dignity for the fact that we can say, well, at least I got this, or I paid for this? Am I willing to sacrifice my dignity in order to do these things? And, you know, it was a really weak, really weak response. You would expect someone of of her age, you know, because she's in her 40s, you know, and that's not a knock on her. She's lived to a point to be in her 40s. A lot of people don't make it that long, you know, just coming from where I'm coming. A lot of people don't make it to their 40s, unfortunately, but she's made it to her 40s. And this is the response that she gives to people who are basically holding her up to the standard that she at one point held herself to. You know, as far as, you know, the fact that you just think about the way that she's presented herself on the reality show that she's made herself a subject of. OK, because that's another thing, too. A lot of people saying that it's none of anybody's business or whatever, but she signed up for a reality show. So her personal life has now become public consumption. She's getting paid basically to live life. OK. And occasionally host a party at a nightclub or something like that, whatever. But here's the thing, and I've seen this a lot. You know, I've seen people talk about, you know, the fact that Mimi has been you know, roundly criticized mostly, and no one has really said a whole hell of a lot about Nico Smith. Here's the thing. Nico Smith is a bum. No one had ever heard of Nico Smith outside of his association with Mimi Faust. And, you know, if you look at the situation, he comes across as an opportunist. The unfortunate thing is she doesn't see that, and everybody else does. I mean, and even in the show Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, even though K Michelle was, you know, talking about him, you know, being gay or whatever, even though she may not have, you know, necessarily have any proof of that. I don't know if he's gay or whatever. That's, you know, that's neither here nor there. Yeah, he was using her as like a way to get put on. You know, he was trying to use her status and her position to promote whatever it was he was doing. Now, I'm hearing like he's supposed to be a rapper. Haven't really heard any, you know, I haven't heard any of his material, whatever, you know, whatsoever. None of his material has ever hit the ears of Mrs. Span or mostly anybody I know. Like, and even when he was on the show, his music wasn't really prominent on the show, so I don't necessarily know how good his music is. But I think the fact that, you know, the reason that people are holding Mimi to such a higher standard was because they weren't expecting anything of him, but they were expecting a whole hell of a lot from her. When you think about the attitude that she had on the show as far as how she treated Jocelyn, you know, Jocelyn was considered a prostitute in her eyes. She went on to say that, like, she looked like a prostitute. She acted like a prostitute. She was a prostitute. She says this many a times on the show, on the reunion shows or whatever. And the fact of the matter is, when you look at the fact that she's selling a sex tape / porno, that she in effect is a prostitute. You know, we can dress it up as many ways as you like. And I know a lot of people are just like, why she got to be this? Why she got to be that? I'm just going by the dictionary definition of a hoe or a whore, so to speak. Someone who sells their body for money. And that's what she did. She put herself out there for money, and she justified it again by saying, if you aren't paying my bills. This is how she justified it. So, it's one of those things, man. It's like, I think people are more so disappointed more than anything because of the fact that they felt bad for her because of the way that Stevie J treated her. They felt bad for her because of the fact that she couldn't get any get right out of this dude. And she did have a child with this dude. And, you know, you could sit up all day long, you know, and trust and believe, like the actions that people saw on the show weren't a really good representation of co-parenting. It wasn't the best representation of co-parenting at all on the show. And so, yeah, Stevie J has a sex tape out with him and Eve. It was really like fucked up. You know, but here's the thing too with that, though. It's like it's almost like his tape really was leaked. You know, he didn't have like a whole production crew come through with the lighting and the props and the budget to like really promote this sex tape the way that she has. You know, not that makes it right. It's just the circumstances are a whole hell of a lot different when it comes to his sex tape as opposed to hers. Be that as it may. It's really not a good look. And here's the thing, man. I always say this, and I say this a lot to a lot of the sisters that I come across, like, especially when it comes to social media and whatever. And it's because I always draw, of course, from my own personal experiences. All right. When I was growing up, my mother was a very attractive woman. And it was hell as a young boy to have an attractive woman as your mother. It was always hell because you were always catching flack from your friends. Like, yo, man, if that wasn't your mama, I'd do X, Y, and Z. If that wasn't your mama, yada, yada, yada. And every day, you always you was like on the brink of like ready to fuck somebody up because they were saying something sideways about your mama. Now, I grew up in the 80s and the 90s with my mama. There was no internet in the 80s, and you know, there was in the 90s, but it wasn't nearly as prominent as it is now. So even if there was the remote chance that my mother did have a sex tape out there, chances are most of my friends would have no clue that it existed and they would have no means of getting to it. Unfortunately for Amimi Faust or whomever, you know, even people in the hood that do sex tapes and they find themselves on X videos and Rude and YouPorn and everything else. Unfortunately, if you put out these types of things, it can be found and people can, you know, look these types of things up. And the worst thing in the world for a young boy or even a young girl is to go to school and find out that like their friends know that their mama is out here doing X, Y, and Z. Now, we can sit up and talk about, you know, how fair it is. We could talk about how, you know, men are held to a different standard. And that's a, you know, that's a really good conversation to have. And it's a valid point to be made. But the reality of the situations is, you know, the reality of the situations are that women are held to a higher standard when it comes to representations of their families. It's just the reality of the situation at this particular point in time. Until we can get to a point where it's not, and both men and women are held equally accountable, then we can, you know, revisit this. But at this particular moment in time, women are held a bit more accountable for their actions when it comes to things like this. It's an unfortunate reality that we have to deal with. And so when you think about the fact that, you know, she has a young child and this kid can grow up and all of her friends know that, hey, isn't your mama the one that put out that sex tape? Or isn't your mama a porn star? I saw your mama sucking dick on the internet. I saw your mama in the shower. I've seen your mama's pussy. Now, like, even then, back, like, again, just, again, drawing off of my own experiences, back in the 80s, if anybody had said anything remotely close to that, I was ready to whoop some ass. And I was going to have to deal with that all the time. So, you know, we could sit up and talk about her respectability, whether or not it's fair that Nico Smith gets the same amount of backlash that she's getting. But we're forgetting the fact that she was the one who was the main draw. You know, again, she was the one who was the main draw. She's the star of Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. He's a hanger on. He's using this. He's still a despicable motherfucker, no matter how you lay it out. He's still a despicable piece of shit. But yeah, man, it's a really screwy situation, and you'd hate to see someone who I wouldn't even necessarily say hate to see. I mean, just judging off of how this situation plays out. I mean, you think, again, I've already mentioned the fact that she talked mad shit about Jocelyn for being a stripper. She called her a prostitute. Then she went out and denied the fact that there was ever a sex tape. And at the point in time, there may not have been a sex tape, but there may have been one in the works. And then to say that this sex tape was stolen from you, and then you went to Vivid Entertainment to monetize off of the fact that it was stolen from you, as opposed to saying, no, you're in possession of stolen property. You need to give this shit back to me and I'll sue you to get it back. You know, you can do that. Now, if Vivid Entertainment goes on ahead and releases it anyway, now you have grounds for another lawsuit, whatever. But yeah, man, like, the, you know, again, just paying attention to things like that. You know, if you pay attention to things like that, it's just one of those things, man, to where, you know, somebody is hungry for 15 more minutes of fame. You know, it's again, and I go back to this, how much are you willing to sacrifice of your own personal dignity to eat, you know, so to speak? Because again, that meme that Mimi put out said, if you aren't paying my bills. Now, you supposedly are in business for yourself. You have one of the number one shows in America right now that you're a cast member of. I'm pretty sure you get paid to make a lot of appearances across the country, because I think that's one of the things that reality star shows, you know, show stars do. They make a lot of club appearances, and they make a lot of money from the club appearances from being on these shows. $100,000 for your dignity. $100,000 for your dignity. You know, is that the price you're willing to sell yourself out for? You know, it's unfortunate. It's not fair that she gets the brunt of, you know, the criticism and everything else, you know. But at the same time, she has to live with that decision. You know, she's living a very public life. She's living as a matter of fact, her life, she's made into a commodity, whether that be her sex life, whether that be her personal life, whether that be the life between her and her child's father or what have you. At the end of the day, it was a really, she comes off really, really pathetic. And it's sad to see that, you know, after so many people were rooting for her to come out on top, man. So that's pretty much where I'm at with that, man. It's just really sad. It's really pathetic. And you would hope to see a whole hell of a lot better coming from someone who should know better, especially at that age, man. It's just someone who should know better. And that's where I'm at with it. But enough about Mimi and her fucking sex tape, because I know the thing about that, man, is like they definitely have made Love and Hip Hop Atlanta a must see TV now, because everybody wants to see how this shit plays out. And of course, if you're really paying attention, you know that it's some bullshit, but it's good TV. It's good TV. So let me move on, y'all. The next story that I wanted to talk to you guys about, man, was Brooke Kimbrough. Now, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the story, but there's a young lady who is graduating from high school this year. She applied to the University of Michigan, and she was denied admission into the University of Michigan. And now she's joined an organization called By Any Means Necessary, or BAM for short, and she's basically protesting until these people, until the University of Michigan admits her into the school. So I got a news clip of her in her protest. So I'm going to play that real quick, and then I'll be right back to you. Just a second.
A rally to demand more diversity at the University of Michigan. The activist group By Any Means Necessary, or BAM, is fighting for minority students who feel they were unfairly rejected by the school. Group is demanding an immediate appeal on behalf of Detroit student Brooke Kimbrough and Birmingham student Daisha Martin. Kimbrough has a 3.6 GPA and is on the top debate team in the state. Martin is the president of the Black Student Union at Seaholm High School, plays violin, and started an annual march against racism.
I believe that I have been rejected because of the morals that I stand for. I am Harriet. I will take back my freedom as a tool to help the others. I have left the plantation to get my freedom, but I am coming back for you too. I am Ida B. I will make it my civic duty to document every news of a rejection letter that the university produced for our Black, brown, and red bodies.
My name is Daisha Martin, and I've been denied from the University of Michigan. I just got my rejection letter, and I'm angry, and I'm here to fight until I get it.
Kimbrough scored a 23 out of 36 on the ACT test. Martin's academic scores were not released. U of M tells us they share students' concerns about diversity on campus and that increasing the number of underrepresented minorities on campus is a major goal of the administration.
Yeah, man. So, of course, you can see these two young ladies, because there's Daisha Martin also that was also protesting the fact that they didn't get into the University of Michigan with the organization BAM By Any Means Necessary. So really passionate about the fact that they didn't get into the University of Michigan. And you know, it's one of those things, man. It's one of those things, because I know this may not even be a popular view amongst my people, man, but I don't agree with this kid at all. I don't agree with the, and part of the reason I don't is because she simply didn't have the grades to get in. I mean, she just didn't. She just didn't have the grades. I mean, whether we want to, you know, we can talk about the ramifications of affirmative action. We could talk about whether or not she was discriminated against. I don't necessarily believe that not Dayshawn Martin, because they didn't release Dayshawn Martin's academic record. But for Brooke Kimbrough, okay, they did release her records. And Brooke Kimbrough, supposedly, I mean, she's reported to have a 3.5 grade point average, and she scored a 23 on the ACT. Okay. Just of course, when I talk about stories like this, usually when I speak to a lot of different things, I try to draw from my own personal experience and how I can relate to these stories. And I guess I should just tell like this story, you know, with me coming out of high school, because I also applied to the University of Michigan back when I graduated. I graduated in 1999 from high school. And when I graduated high school, Span graduated with a 3.75 grade point average. I was ranked fifth in my graduating class, and I scored a 25 on the ACT. And actually, I took the ACT twice. I had to take the ACT twice. The first time I took it, I only scored an 18. And, you know, I took test prep courses, and I was thinking about all these rules that the test prep courses were telling me to take. And by doing that, I ran out of time on a lot of portions of the test, didn't finish any portions of the test when I took it. And so, I scored an 18. Because I didn't finish any portions of the test when I took it the first time. And then the second time I took it, I just winged it. Said, fuck it. If I don't know it, I'll just answer it and move the fuck on. But, I scored a 25 when I took the ACT. And I had a 3.75 grade point average when I graduated high school back in 1999. All right. Now, when I graduated high school, I had five schools. You know, I had five schools that I had applied to. University of Michigan was my top choice. Also, it was one of the schools that I grew up wanting to go to all my life. I grew up watching the Fab Five. I grew up watching the University of Michigan go to, you know, Rose Bowls and everything else. And of course, I'm a basketball and football fan, you know, and University of Michigan was a damn good school. It still is a damn good school. If you want to go to a top notch school, University of Michigan is right there up there with your top notch schools. It's a highly selective school. 50% of the people, half of the people that apply to the University of Michigan don't get in. Okay, that's just one of those things. Half of the people who apply don't get in to the University of Michigan. All right. Now, the University of Michigan was my top choice. The other choices that I made were Morehouse, Tennessee State University, Tuskegee University, and Southern University in Louisiana. All right. Now, you notice University of Michigan was the only predominantly white institution that I named. All of the other schools that I tried to go to were black schools. And that was because those were schools that I had also I had a chance to visit. And those were also schools that had really shown keen interest in me, you know, that were actually trying to get me to go there. So, you know, I appreciated that more than anything. But when it came down to, you know, you apply to a lot of schools or whatever, and you know, you get time to start getting your letters, your acceptance or your rejection. And I got my rejection letter from the University of Michigan, and yeah, it hurt. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, since I was a young kid, I mean, like a little kid, I wanted to go to the University of Michigan. The thoughts of paying for the University of Michigan was something that was like, you know, the back of my mind. But because, you know, even then, University of Michigan was a pretty expensive school and everything else. But yeah, I got my rejection letter, and they were pretty straightforward in my rejection letter to tell me why it was that I didn't get accepted. And it was because of the fact that my test scores was in the bottom. My test scores was in the, like the bottom 25%. Of the test scores coming into the University of Michigan at that particular point in time. Now, in 1999, okay, this is back, what was that, shit, almost 15 years ago, all right, 1999, the average ACT score going into the University of Michigan was a 27, and the average grade point average going into the University of Michigan was a 3.95. I was below both of those at that particular moment in time. And 15 years ago, 27 was the average going in, and the 3.95 was the average of the typical freshman coming into the University of Michigan. And so, you know, I just took it on the chin, like, okay, you know, no biggie, no worry. You know what I'm saying? I still got four other options that are pretty, that are pretty decent options in my particular, in my opinion. And there are places that actually want me to be there. You know, that was a thing. They wanted me to be there. I got accepted in the university. Morehouse College. I just couldn't afford Morehouse. Couldn't afford it. They didn't necessarily give me like a full scholarship either or nothing like that. They didn't even, I don't even think Morehouse offered me a partial scholarship. But Tennessee State, which was third on my list, they offered me a scholarship to come to the Tennessee State University with the same credentials that the University of Michigan denied me for. And so when I hear stories like, Brooke Kimbrough's, where she's upset that she didn't get into the University of Michigan with a 3.5 grade point average and a 23 on the ACT, and she goes so far as to protest the school and to make it out as if it's because she's black that she didn't get in. That's where I have an issue. I mean, that's really where I kind of wish that somebody would get in this girl's ear and like, yo, you might be jumping the gun on this one. All right. Because there are also a lot of students, black also, who have better credentials than she did, who aren't getting in. There are white students, there are Asian students, there are Hispanic students who had better credentials than she did, and they still aren't getting into the University of Michigan. They still aren't getting in there because of the way that they select their students. A lot has been made about the fact that, there was an agreement made with the university to have 10% enrollment of minority students. Here's the thing, man. And I really wish people would like really pick up on this. Minority doesn't necessarily mean black. It doesn't. Minority could be Asian. It can be Hispanic. It can be black. It can be women. These are what, the United States is deemed as minorities in this country. So the fact that, this particular student didn't get in, her and Daisha Miller, one has to wonder, are you believing that you should be there simply because you are black? And if you believe that you should be there simply because you are black, isn't that like what we were fighting against, when it comes to, say, for instance, affirmative action and everything else? Because when I think about affirmative action, I'm thinking of someone who has similar credentials and they have, if it were it, like, say, for instance, if you had a white student and a black student, both of them have, they have comparable grades. Both of them have the same GPA. Both of them have the same test scores or what have you. But the white population, for instance, they're overrepresented. So because of the fact that they're overrepresented, we should give this opportunity to this black student because they have the same credentials that you have, and yet we don't have enough of them here. As opposed to, you have a 3.9 grade point average as an Asian student. Say, for instance, an Asian student has a 3.9 grade point average and a 36 on the ACT or 32 on the ACT. But we're not going to let you in because we have Brooke Kimbrough, who has a 3.5 grade point average and a 23 on the ACT, because we need to fill this quota for African Americans. And it's I don't think that's something that we really want to go. I don't think that's a road that we really want to go down to where standards are lowered to accommodate us, to where because of the fact that I believe that when the standards are lowered, it's almost as if you're using, you know, the fact that you're black as a handicap. I don't believe because I'm black that I'm handicapped and that, you know, the standards should be lowered for me. I believe that I can do whatever the fuck everybody else can do, and you should hold me to that standard. But I should have the same opportunity. I should have the same opportunity if my standard, what I put out is on par with what everybody else is putting out. I should have the exact same opportunity. But if I don't have the credentials in order to be there, then damn it, I'm not going, and I shouldn't be there. You know, can you imagine? You know, and here's another thing too. Like, have we totally forsaken our own fucking, you know, institutions? Have we totally forsaken those? You know, I know, like, it, you know, the whole idea of going to a black college isn't as romantic as it used to be. You know what I'm saying? But here's one of those things to where it's like, you know what? We probably should be putting that bug in some of these kids' ears, as opposed to, like, you know what, maybe you should use that as an option. And it's not to say that going to a historically black university or anything like that is superior or inferior, but to protest the fact that this school denied you and you tried to make it out that the school denied you because you were black, I kind of find, like, I really find that kind of shit offensive. You know, to be quite honest with you, especially when you look at your grade point average, when you look at your test scores or whatever, juxtapose that with what's really going, you know, what's really being accepted there when it comes to grade point averages and test scores. Not to say that her test scores or her grade point average were shit, because she had good test scores and she had good grade point averages, just not good enough to go into the University of Michigan. I mean, that's just pretty much what it is. I mean, like, sometimes life just ain't fair, man. Like, we have to, like, it's one of those things where, like, you know, we talk about a lot of folks talk about the wussification of America's youth and everything else. We have some entitled ass kids too, to where they think they supposed to get every fucking thing. Unfortunately, you're not gonna get everything, and unfortunately things ain't gonna always go your fucking way. And this is one of those things. Yo, you got a rejection letter. You know what you're supposed to do? Take that. Be like, you know what? Y'all gonna regret the day that y'all didn't let me in. And I'm gonna go somewhere and be fucking great without you. You can do that. You can definitely do that. But to, you know, get in front of the news cameras and talk about you being Ida B. Wells and all this other thing, it's like, come on, man. I don't buy it, man. At the end of the day, if they had let your ass in, would you even be having this protest right now? You wouldn't. You wouldn't give a damn about talking about you reaching back for everybody else. You wouldn't. Your ass would be right there like, yo, I got mine. That's just where I'm at with it. I don't want to misconstrue, the young lady's plight or whatever. I just kind of feel like she's being used, unfortunately, for the purposes of this group that she's joined up with, because this group has been protesting the University of Michigan and everything else lately, you know, as far as the Black Student Union at the University of Michigan and everything else. And we can go back into talking about, the University of Michigan being there is no more affirmative action, at least there weren't for the undergraduate admissions at the University of Michigan because of a proposition. I think it was Proposition 2 quite a few years ago. I wasn't living in Michigan at the time when that was coming down. I was still living in Illinois at that particular moment in time. But at the end of the day, man, you know, I really wish we would look more like, I wish we would just stop forsaking our own fucking institutions. I mean, when you sit up and you talk about, people talking about whether or not they get treated fairly at white schools, whether or not the admissions at white schools are letting these black folks in or whatever. Like, I don't want to be in any place no one wants me. And, you know, we have so many of our schools, you know, you think about a Tennessee State University, a Tuskegee University, a Southern University, a Morehouse, a Clark, a Howard, and you start hearing stories about a lot of these schools going bankrupt, a lot of the people that went to these schools not giving back money to go to these schools. But you know, we're so enamored with the fact that, yo, I can say that I went to University of Michigan. I'm enamored with the fact that I can say that I went to Harvard or Brown. I'm enamored with the fact that I can say that I went to this predominantly white institution, and therefore my education is better than yours because you went to an HBCU. Fuck that. We need to stop doing that type of shit. You know what I mean? Like, I just really wish that somebody would have gotten into this young lady's ear and told her, look, you are greater than you ever imagined, and you don't need the University of Michigan to achieve everything you want to do. That's what I wish somebody would have told her, as opposed to letting this young lady go before the news and you know, act as if an injustice has been brought upon her because she's black, when you just look at the straight up numbers, she just simply didn't have the grade point average or the test scores to get into that institution. It's a highly selective institution. Lots of people don't get in with better grades and better test scores than she does across the racial spectrum. You know, so I call bullshit on this whole protest. I really do. And I know a lot of people may not necessarily agree with me, but yeah, that's just where I'm at with it, man. So hopefully, you know, this young lady can get to it. You know, I'm pretty sure she's been accepted somewhere else. I for damn sure hope the University of Michigan wasn't the only school that she applied to. But yeah, man, I hope everything works out for her. Unfortunately for her, though, I don't necessarily believe that the University of Michigan is going to allow her to be admitted simply because she did a protest. What kind of precedent does that set for us, you know? Or just what type of precedent does that set, period, to let someone with, you know, inferior grades and inferior test scores in simply because of their racial makeup? You know, like, that's just I don't know, but I do know that I kind of resent using your skin color or using the fact that you're black as, like, you know, presented as if you were handicapped because of it and you weren't let in because of it, when there are other factors in play there. So yeah, that's where I'm at with that, man. But I'm gonna take a real quick break. And then when I return, man, I'm going to talk about a young man that broke into somebody's house, and his family is a bit upset about it. And yeah, it's really, you know, it's kind of emotional response. But I'm going to take this break and then I'll return. So just a second.
Trap, no shield, no sword. The unbeaten path got my soul so sore. Allured by the lust, something money can't cure. The devil want me as is, but God, he want more. Eyes closed, eyes open, great another day. Here we go. Like a nigga woke up late in the Truman Show, living life without a care. Mean poker face, but I'm forced to play solitaire till I get up out of here. Move like a wanted man with a bounty on his head. Work alone, sleep alone, eat alone. Daily bread counted till my fingers red. How you gonna judge a man? Walking in the shoes of a man with a broken leg. Flame on the trail headed for the powder keg. Last place in the race, I ain't never led. Like I ain't never bled. Time to get up out of bed. Serving in the army of one, it's on again.
Walk alone, I walk alone, you never walk alone. Always been on my own. Ever since the day I was born. So I don't mind walking alone. Walk alone, I walk alone, you never walk alone. Always been on my own, ever since the day I was born. So I don't mind walking alone.
I'm in a chess match, I'm in a death trap. I'm trying to find out where the eggs in the nest at. I want blood when the sky turns jet black. No love in the world can correct that. I'm in a slow lane, I'm on my Cobain. I'm in a new spot, trying to run an old game. I got a new chick, put out my old flame. No peace, no sleep, no love for a young beast. You could put me in a cage, you could put me in a jungle where the lion get blazed. It ain't no hell like the hell I raised. I die in the
bet I mean. For I lay with a love I love. I'm a snake in the garden of bones. I'm a loner in a world of clones. I'm the piece that don't belong. See, I'm wrong with the reaper wrong. Till they put my name on the stone.
Walk alone, I walk alone, you know I walk alone. Always been on my own. Ever since the day I was born. So I don't mind walking alone. Walk alone, I walk alone, you know I walk alone. Always been on my own. Ever since the day I was born. So I don't mind walking alone.
The longest walk I'll probably ever be on. The road to perdition, guess I'm finna get my plea on. I pray these wings strong enough to carry me on. I promise every second felt as if it took an eon. Walking like the Lost Boys, the Sierra Leone. The Trail of Tears, what they got me like a Cherokee on. Between the ears, something I require therapy on. For working to the bone like my name, Robert Guillaume. I go above and beyond, the duty call truly y'all. Even though they kinda blew me off like a booty call. Ask me if I'm just another moolie or a movie star. Forced to face the music like a graduate of Juilliard. Walk alone, talk alone, get my Charlie Parker on. Make my mark alone, shed light upon a dark alone. Get my spark alone, it's a mission I'm embarking on. A kamikaze in a danger zone, far from home.
Was Roots with Walk Alone off of the How I Got Over album, man. Some old school shit. So, well, not really old school, but not exactly some new shit either. But yeah, man, I like that shit. I'm a real big fan of the Roots, and you should definitely check that out if and when you get the chance, man. But yeah, back to some more news, sort of. But yeah, man, I've been talking a lot lately. I know a lot has been going on here in Detroit as opposed when it comes to home invasion. I even spoke a bit about this with Rod on Medium Talk, that there have been a lot of home invasions going on in Detroit. And with those home invasions, there have been quite a few homeowners defending their homes, defending their families, defending themselves, from criminals, so to speak. You know, people just breaking into your house while you in the motherfucker. So, you know, and so lately, you know, well, recently, there was another instance of this happening in the city of Detroit where a young man and a young woman were breaking into someone's house to get something. I'm not sure exactly what it was they were there for, because there's a lot, there has been speculation in the city or surrounding the story that the young lady in the crime who was also shot at knew the victim, or she knew the person who owned the house, and she was going there to sort of like retrieve some things that belonged to her. All right. Now, in the course of breaking into this house, both of them were shot at. She brought a young man with him. He was 15 years old, and he unfortunately lost his life trying to break into this house. All right. Now, you know, again, like, you know, you guys know by listening to me that I'm a big proponent of, you know, people being able to defend themselves, defend their homes, defend their families. And so, you know, again, I kind of applaud the fact that, you know, folks are pretty much standing up. They're not really taking, you know, folks victimizing them anymore. They're not taking that shit anymore. And it will behoove a lot of would-be criminals to, you know what, I might lose my life doing this shit. I might need to make another decision. As far as, you know, trying to victimize someone else, I should probably make some better decisions as to how I'm going to get about, or how I'm going to go about, proceeding, in life, so to speak. And so, like, again, it's sad to hear that it was a 15-year-old kid that was shot and killed breaking into someone's home, right? But you know, I was watching the news. And they had his family. They had the 15-year-old kid. They had his family on the television, and they were, you know, of course, they're distraught. They're very distraught over the loss of him. And you know, I can't blame them at all for being distraught, because he was so young and he had, you know, a whole hell of, you know, a whole life before him to live. But you know, listening to this story, I couldn't necessarily disagree with these people more. Let me play this clip. I'm gonna play this clip for you real sec in a second, and then I'm gonna get right back. Hold on just a second.
Employment. Let's deal with the real issues and not continue to keep looking at the facade of break-ins and street crime.
Meanwhile, if somebody's breaking in your house, you may have a different opinion. I know some homeowners do. There's the case of a 15-year-old boy, Devontae Moore. Police say that he was shot and killed after breaking into a home on Asbury Park in Detroit. The boy's godmother had this to say to the home.
You took somebody's child, 15 years old. Nothing in your house was that valuable to take a kid's life. Well, we gonna get justice and we gonna get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, it's a real sad situation for that family. And you have to feel for that family. Unfortunately, I don't necessarily agree with that family. You know, when someone's breaking in your home, the first thing, like, I'm not asking you how old you are. You know, I don't know anybody who stops and like, you know what, how old are you during the middle of a break-in? I don't know anybody who would even think to ask that type of shit when somebody's breaking into their house. That's just not something that you do. It's like an outlier type of situation. I don't know anybody who's like, you know what, I'm gonna ask this guy how old he is when he comes into my house as he's breaking into my shit. No. And another thing, like, you know, you saying, you know, this lady said nothing in this person's house was as valuable as this 15-year-old kid's life. How about my life is just as valuable, and I don't know if you're coming to take it. I don't know if, you know, it's my possessions that you're after. I don't know if it's me you're after. I don't know what it is exactly you're doing breaking into my home while I'm in it, you know. And it's unfortunate. It's very unfortunate that it was a 15-year-old, you know, kid who was, you know, who found himself breaking into somebody's house, you know, especially when you think about all of the stories that have been happening in the city of Detroit, where, yo, it's been a lot of people breaking into folks' houses, and it's been a lot of people getting shot breaking into somebody's house or trying to rob somebody, you know. And of course, you know, there, you know, all of the stories when it comes to guns aren't exactly positive when it comes to gun owners. There was a cell phone store shop cashier or whatever who, for whatever reason, saw fit to grab an AR-15 and pointed, excuse me, and pointed at some of the customers that whom he disagreed with. Now, he's been, you know, I believe his AR-15 has been confiscated and he's been locked up. I don't have all the details concerning that story, but yeah, like, that's one of those motherfuckers that kind of makes it hard for someone like my, you know, someone like myself or anybody else who just wants to, you know, lawfully exercise their right. But, you know, even though you would feel empathy for the family that's going through the loss of a 15-year-old kid, at the same time, that 15-year-old kid was in the middle of the commission of a crime when he lost his life. And that's the sad reality of it. You know, it's like condolences to that family, and I mean that sincerely. The condolences to that family. I just simply don't agree, and there's a lot of people that don't agree that, you know, no one's life is as valuable as the life of your 15-year-old son or nephew or cousin or whatever, especially when your nephew's son, godson or whatever, it was in the middle of committing a crime against someone else, you know. So Yeah, man, it's like this particular show, I think I'm gonna title this Life Just Ain't Fair. Life Just Ain't Fair. There's a lot of things that go on that, you know, we might not necessarily understand, that we might not particularly agree with. Life just ain't fair all the time. And, you know, life is going to be full of disappointment sometimes, you know, not full of disappointment, but there's going to be disappointment in your life. And unfortunately, it's just one of those, it's just the reality of being human. It's just reality being human, so to speak. So, yeah, man, I think I'm going to end the show on that, man. But, yeah, I actually spoke a little bit longer than I thought I would tonight. But if you guys want to get at me here at the Span Report Podcast, of course, here's how you can do that. You can hit me up at thespanpodcast@gmail.com. That's the email address, thespanpodcast, all one word, @gmail.com. You can also send me a voicemail at the Span Report hotline at area code 313-288-0485. Leave me a voicemail message there. I'll listen to those on the show and respond to those here on the show all the time. If you want to leave any comments on the particular episodes of the podcast, you can hit me up at thespanreport.com and leave those comments on those particular episodes. You can use your Facebook account, or you can just go ahead natively and put in your own information. You can also hit me up on Instagram at Mr_Span, and it's the same thing on Twitter at Mr_Span, and it's Mr_Span 37 on PlayStation Network and Mr. Span 37 on Xbox Live, man. But yeah, I'm gonna get on out of here, man. It's been a long night. Life ain't fair, unfortunately, but yeah, man, I'm gonna get on out of here. And I hope to talk to you guys again soon. Happy Easter to everybody who celebrates Easter, man. But until next time, fam, peace.
Thank you.